Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Is Ferlazzo one of the celebrity chefs?
I'd have to check the full list on that for Cookin' Men, which, by the way, has turned into a phenomenal event for Paint the Belly Pink
really,
for the Breast Center.
I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
This is October, so it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. All right, play-by-play call of the day. Juan Soto with the bases loaded in the eighth inning, and the Nationals down 3-1 to the Brewers.
Wide drive, base hit to right. That'll score one. That'll score two as the ball gets away from Grisham and right. That's going to score three runs, and the Washington Nationals have the lead. They got Soto hung up. They tagged him out, but nobody in this joint cares.
And they won 4-3. Now they get the Dodgers. But I will say this. Remember years ago how the Nationals were careful about their future? They shut down. Remember how they shut down Steven Strasburg? And he still ended up getting arm trouble. Despite the innings and things like that. Who'd they bring out of the bullpen last night? Who ended up being the winning pitcher? Steven Strasburg. Changed their philosophy a little bit, didn't they? Change it for the better. All right. They got the Dodgers next. A's and Rays tonight. All right. Let's bring in, from the York Daily Record, Frank Bodani. It's always great to hear you on the other end. Frank, welcome.
Really good. Good to talk to you, Steve.
Good to talk.
Well.
Oh,
yeah.
Good to talk with you as well.
Yeah.
Frank, what did you think of not just Sean Clifford, but how everything just seemed to fall into place on Friday night for them?
Well, it was a big question. I think a lot of people kept asking, so how do you think they're going to do? They're going to do good, right? But they seemed uncertain. Penn State fans I'm talking about.
Right.
But and because I think that everyone recognizes the talent's there, the speed is there, the depth should be there, but can they put it together as a whole team and what will it look like? Well, they did that, and it seemed like they did a great job of taking advantage of the bye week. And they look like, to me, just a very focused team, not just one side of the ball or one unit or two, very focused, very much knew what the game plan was, and exactly how to execute it, which to me doesn't necessarily tell you what the rest of the year is going to be like, but it's a huge mark after four games. You know, this right now, it's a big deal.
Okay, so now I want to get to the quote backup guys. Seconds and thirds came in and played in the game. And, you know, Penn State talks about, and other programs discuss this as well, we have a standard. Did you sense that based on what you were seeing and what James Franklin talked about afterward that the other guys stepped in, quote, and were keeping the standard?
Oh, yeah. I definitely do. I think it was easy to see at linebacker Michael Parsons leaves in the second series. Immediately, Jesse Lucada made a tackle that, you know, you almost would have thought was Michael Parsons.
Right.
Ellis Brooks didn't look, you know, like he was on fire the whole time he was in the game at linebacker. And I think sometimes you almost forget about Ellis Brooks. And I think, you know, he did a great job. Adisa Isaac came in and made some plays. And those are just stat plays. I mean, the offensive line has been rotating some guys from the beginning, and James talks about that a good bit, and I think that's huge because in years past, you were not able to do this with the same quality of talent. You weren't able to rotate maybe a Mike Miranda and a C.J. Thorpe.
Yes.
You couldn't do that. And I think you know injuries are coming. No one wants to know that, but it's going to happen. Who do you have to step in, because Ohio State, for example, has been so good in some of those years, because even when their quarterback gets hurt, they have somebody that can lead them to a national title.
Right.
No, you have to have those guys ready. Finally, I think Penn State is able to show that, or, you know, they're getting there.
Sean Clifford, first start, first couple series was high, struggled a bit. Struggled a bit at times with the deep ball against Pitt. Now he plays on the road for the first time. So I think some people were wondering whether the first couple series he'd be a bit excitable. He wasn't. What does that tell us about his maturity?
Well, I think it was always there with Sean. When Penn State signed him, they were getting a very mature kid even then. And you saw it with his glimpses last season. I think people then expected so much of him right from the get-go. And that's just a lot to put on anyone's plate.
Sure.
And I think what you saw against Maryland is just who, I think it's who he is. He seems like a very quick learner. He's very studious. He didn't get to this point without a whole lot of good things before that in high school and then his first 2 years at Penn State. So he just, they keep saying he just needed to calm down. And I think the more he sees, the easier it gets. Like, he looked comfortable Friday night from the beginning. He looked like, I've been through this three or four games, an extra week of practice. He was hitting guys in stride, and his decision-making just looked comfortable from up in the press box. You know, he didn't look like he was wondering what to do at all with any of his throws, which is a great sign going forward, because I think the long balls will come. To me, it's the most important. Can you get some of those guys the ball properly in space on even the shorter routes and let them work with it, which is what he did.
Frank, when you look at, we know Purdue's banged up coming into the game. Will this be a young football team that Penn State has? Will this be a test of maturity? Noon game, team banged up. Some people would look past. And Penn State, of course, can't do that. But will this be a test of maturity?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's the biggest point of what this game is going to be about. It's not going to be about, does Penn State have the better talent, is on the better role. It's how will they handle the situation. You know, each week is different. You got to handle them all. This is a growing up experience, because it wouldn't surprise me if at some point in the first half you might kind of think, okay, what's going on?
Right.
Then what you learn about Penn State is then how do they adjust to that mode and that feeling, and how quickly do they do it? You know, you expect them to, by the middle of the third quarter, to have this thing looking like, I would think, last week. But it is a growing up experience. You can't look ahead to the next three games. You know, you're
right.
Not – that doesn't work for anybody. I mean, I even think Wisconsin looked – a little bit maybe like that.
I agree.
Against Northwestern, and you know, because they got bigger things coming, and they were coming off an impressive performance. You can't get those kids that are that age up high, you know, the same level every single week for 12 games. I mean, that's just humanly impossible.
Yeah.
Just, I think you have to try to get them to really learn, you know, from week to week. And I think we'll find something out more about the coaching staff. People have been really hard on Ricky Rahme, and there's still people, obviously, that aren't sold 100% maybe on where Penn State is headed this year. But I think the way the game plan was directed and executed against Maryland says something. So how do we go physically into the next game? And, hey, you know, they rotate so many players, that's good at this point in the year. And even when something bad happens, like Micah Parsons, okay, well, he didn't play. He basically sat out the whole game. So
Sure. Mentally
and physically, let's see how he responds. That's still a good lesson for him.
Frank, always a pleasure. Thanks a lot for your time, my friend.
Absolutely. Look forward to the next time. Look forward to seeing you Saturday, Steve.
Same thing, Frank. Thank you.
Okay. Take care.
Frank Bodani, York Daily Record, back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, 100th homecoming game is Saturday. Beaver Stadium, Penn State and Purdue. Oh, when you look at Jack Plummer, the quarterback for Purdue that will have to quarterback this game, I think that one area where he's really helped going into this game, the fact that he did have to play the last game and he had to play the TCU game when Sindelar had a concussion and couldn't play. So at least he has some game experience. The speed with which Penn State will come at him, though, is something he's not used to. We're going to find out, I think, very early how he can handle that. Bell at wide receiver, very, very good. Does it compensate for not having Rondale Moore? No. In fact, Bell would be even better, obviously, with Moore out there as well, because Moore would demand so much attention. And King Doru actually is coming off a game where he, after not running the ball well, ran the ball really well against Minnesota, especially in the second half. So we'll see. Just the whole thing is, it doesn't really matter who's over there. Just get this thing to 5-0 and keep going. The game with Iowa will be a 7:30 start. Everybody's asking about the Michigan game. What time? What time? Yesterday, James Franklin made a couple of comments about noon games. Oh, I love noon games. Oh, yeah, noon, noon, noon. Everybody's like, what are you doing? So, he was kidding. Oh, he was kidding about noon games yesterday when it came to Michigan. He was joking around. So just keep the populace calm. It's all right. So they'll guard the Lion this weekend, the Lion Shrine. They'll have the parade. Parade steps off at 6. I believe the Blue Band is the last to go down the street, I think. I haven't been to, no offense, I haven't been to the homecoming parade in...
Since the year you were Grand Marshal.
I was not, I've never been Grand Marshal.
What are they thinking? Come on. It'd be a wonderful honor.
I have not been to the homecoming parade maybe in 20-something years. How about that?
It reminds me of when people ask you when when Penn State has the terrific opportunity to get out to Pasadena for New Year's Day for the Rose Bowl. Going to the parade?
I have gone to the Rose Parade. I went to the parade. It'll be the last time I ever go to the parade.
Is that the 94 parade?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it has nothing to do with being anti-parade, nothing to do with that. In other words, I've done it. So I don't need to go back to it. I can say I've always seen it. It was incredible. It was beautiful. It was fun to be there. I incredible seats. Right on Colorado Boulevard. But now when I go out to do the game... Now I just go out to do the game. There's no need for me to take in the ancillary stuff like that because I've already done it. In other words, I could say to everybody, I went to it. It was really great. That's not something I'm... Because in order to go to it, I think we left the hotel at 5 in the morning. And the game is 2 in the afternoon there. Well, Sean, that becomes a really long day. And that's the reason why I noticed. I went to it once. It was great. Not good. It was great. It was like, wow. But now that I've done it, I don't need to do it. And now I can just, like the last couple of Rose Bowls, I went in with the team. I mean, you'd be amazed how much easier it is going in with the team. It's a lot easier going in with the team. You know, just, you got a police escort and the whole deal. So, for example, if I wanted to go to the Macy's parade on Thanksgiving, I could do that because I'm in Brooklyn. And I haven't decided what I'm doing about that yet. As I've thought about a couple different ways about this. I've thought about, because the game I'm doing is on Wednesday at 5, so we're on at 4:30, Thanksgiving Eve. So obviously that'll cut out part of the show. Because it's the first game of the doubleheader. So if I drive, what if I drive? I could drive back and be here for Thanksgiving and spend time here at Thanksgiving and then go back for the Friday game, but then I have to come back and do the Saturday football game. So I've thought about that. I don't know how I'm going to do that. Yeah. I mean, there's no need to sit there and go to the bullpen and get a Furlaz or whatever. We can work it out.
We can work it out.
Yeah, we can work it out.
That was a great Beatles song.
Yeah. We can work it out. You know, some people, Furlaz was their bailout for everything. Other people, no. He's going to kill you for telling me that.
Oh, he will. There's a conversation we had on Saturday night as he was heading home after the Bucknell game. Already thinking about this weekend. But Chief will be joining us tomorrow for the roundtable.
My father always had a saying, and it was, don't worry about things you can't do anything about. I tried to pass that advice on to you-know-who. I can't think that way. Now, I was impressed because, you know, he brought up thinking, so it was good.
You can take that approach, but when you say that you can't, you pretty much shut the door and throw the wall up, and it just makes it even more harder.
That's why when it comes to the Michigan game, I look at people like, hey, look, don't worry about it.
We'll find out Monday.
They'll let you know Monday. Yeah. It's all good. Figure it out from there. Huh? You think you worrying about it's going to change the decision?
You know, probably Sunday we'll find out where it's going to be on TV, where we can turn the volume down, crank up you and the hammer, and then Monday we find out the time for the Michigan game, and it's all good. So everything falls into place, 1 week at a time.
At some point, they'll tell us.
Sure.
And they'll show up for work.
That's what we do.
We'll go from there.
Yeah, you mentioned Penn State basketball playing right before Thanksgiving. Bucknell will also be playing. I believe they have, it's either a Monday, Tuesday, depending on how their tournament shakes out. They're going to be down in Florida at the ABC Wide World Sports Complex.
That's a great tournament for them to be in. This is the one that's at Thanksgiving, right?
Yes.
So you go down, and this is what you do. You go down there, and you play Thanksgiving Day. You play Friday and you play Sunday, if I recall correctly. MGM takes you over for a huge Thanksgiving dinner for all the teams on Wednesday night. And when I mean Thanksgiving dinner, I'm not talking, Sean, press turkey. Oh, no. They have people with turkeys, huge turkeys, carving stations, the entire time set up. It is really well done. Yeah, you know, that's one of the few times I took my kids on a trip, because we were allowed to. So my two younger ones went with us, Megan and Chris. You know, so they got to go to Disney World, they got to go to MGM, they got to go to Universal, you know, everything. So, and they, at MGM, they rolled out the red carpet for this thing.
Yeah, Bucknell will be playing Monday, November the 25th against Seattle. And then the next day, Tuesday the 26th, that afternoon, they'll play either Yale or Western Michigan down in Orlando.
Hmm. That's right after Penn State plays Yale.
And actually, right before they head for Florida, Bucknell will be up in the Dome. Saturday the 23rd, they'll play Syracuse.
Mm. Yeah, and that's part of the Barclays Center.
And I'm kind of going in backwards order, and then it's Bucknell, Penn State on Tuesday the 19th.
But see, that's part of the Barclays Tournament.
Right.
Playing Syracuse and playing Penn State's the Barclays Tournament.
Yep.
And then Penn State's playing Yale on the 23rd. Which might be opposite the Ohio State football game. That's why they're playing on the 23rd. I didn't realize they were in that tournament in Orlando. I'm not going to sit there and pretend I'm an expert on Yale's schedule. In fact, there are a lot of people in New Haven that are not experts on Yale's schedule. Great to be with you on the show today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Matt Leon, next half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Nationals won last night, 4-3, scoring three in the eighth inning. Juan Soto knocked in three with the bases loaded. And they advance to get the Dodgers. Rays and A's tonight. Get ready for the Rays to use 11 pitchers. Should be a lot of fun to watch. Brutal.
But by making that move in this game, does that make them more dangerous, whether they would do that or not?
You're trying to win one game.
Yeah, because I've been hearing for months how dangerous the Rays can be if they just get into the postseason.
No, you still got to hit. You really don't. I don't think it makes them more dangerous because they're using a bunch of guys. I think what happens is that, remember, they're going to be married. Now, they play tonight. If they win tonight, they then can change out the roster tomorrow. Because you are allowed to change your roster before each playoff series. So the Rays will have, if they win tonight, the ability, if they wish, based on how tonight plays out, to bring in fresh pitchers for the next series. But they're going to have to do it in a best of five. Then if they win, it then goes to a best of seven in the American League Championship Series. They can then, again, change out for a fresh set of pitchers. But you still have to hit and you still have to field. You can talk about how you're going to handle your pitching all you want, and it keeps you in games, but you're still going to eventually have to score. Now, do I think they win tonight? Yes. I'm trying to think, do they get Houston if they win? I think they get Houston, right? Because the Yankees would get the Twins, I believe. All right. The Eagles will take on the Jets Sunday. Chris Elio's Jets. Yeah, I hope Chris understands that the Jets are bad. All right. So, they're bad. And I can say this. You want to know why? No dog in the hunt. Don't
That's
care.
Right. Get that other New York team.
New York dog. No dog in the hunt.
No.
So let's bring in Matt Leon from Philadelphia. Matt, welcome back. Great to have you with us. Quite a performance and somewhat shorthanded against Green Bay. What were your thoughts watching how Wentz directed that?
Oh, I thought it was very impressive. I thought the most impressive thing was that they leaned on the running game. People have been screaming to see more Jordan Howard. You saw more Jordan Howard. Miles Sanders had his best game as a pro, and I think a lot of that was because of the performance of Jordan Howard as well. They just destroyed the Packers at the line of scrimmage with their offensive line, and that gave Wentz plenty of time. I think Wentz was not sacked, and if I saw correctly, only two quarterback hits, which is a phenomenal performance by the offensive line, and it allowed Wentz, you know, he didn't have to be a superstar and just made the throws he had to make. It was a good recipe for success, a really big win. I don't think 1-3 would have been catastrophic, but 2-2 is a whole heck of a lot better.
No question about that. And look, I don't care how talented you are, it does play games with your confidence if it's not falling into place. I felt what they did in Green Bay did a lot for a very talented team's confidence moving forward.
Oh, absolutely. And they kind of got back to what well, getting Alshon Jeffrey back was huge.
Yep.
Only had three catches, but just what he brings to the offense, and obviously had the touchdown earlier. I mean, the defense, there's still some issues there. I mean, they are not the first secondary that Aaron Rodgers has carved up, but right. they did cause a couple of huge turnovers, including, of course, the interception at the goal line. But no, you're right. I mean, the talent is there for the most part, and that was just kind of a correction game, if you will, where, all right, everybody take a deep breath. 2-2. I think a lot of people, if they looked at the schedule coming into the season, would have thought 2-2 would be a very reasonable start and would not by any means mean the sky is falling. I think it's just the road they took to get the 2-2, losing to Detroit, which all of a sudden now doesn't quite look as bad because Detroit's played some good football and, you know, gave the Chiefs all they could handle. And I think people would have figured they would have beat Detroit, lost to Green Bay. Just reverse that. They're fine.
Yeah, and that's the key. They're fine. What about the injuries? Any update on getting guys back? Because they won a big game without a couple of key guys. What about getting them back?
We'll find out more. We're going to hear from Doug Peterson until Wednesday. And after the game on Thursday, he kind of intimated, or I guess it was the day after the game on Friday, that he'd have more of an update come midweek. He's become quite cagey when it comes to talking about injuries. Especially with these couple of night games they've had where he is able to say he wasn't able to huddle with the medical staff before talking to the media. I think the big one, DeSean Jackson's the guy that you would hope they'd be able to get back. Hasn't played the last three games. He got hurt early in the Falcons game, week two. But, you know, you saw what the offense did against Green Bay, and all of a sudden if you were able to put DeSean to take the top off,
yeah,
you know, then it's kind of back to what people were thinking in July and August, that my goodness, this could really be some kind of a special offensive attack. So that's the main one that I'm keeping an eye on. In the secondary, you know, Ronald Darby with his hamstring, we'll wait and see. Sidney Jones had to leave the game. One of the reasons that Aaron Rodgers was able to carve him up is because they had Avante Maddox on the outside, something he hasn't done much, and it sounds like he hadn't done much at all in, like, training camp and all. And you kind of saw that where he was just kind of hanging on for dear life out there on a lot of those passing routes, and a big reason why Davante Adams had the game that he had. But we'll know more by Wednesday, I think.
If they beat the Jets, does it count?
Yes.
Okay.
We petitioned the league, and all games on the schedule do count. Despite the Jets being the Jets. Doesn't sound like – I read some stuff from Adam Gase today. It doesn't sound like Sam Darnold's going to be ready to go.
No. Man, they're bad. You got to give them credit. They're bad. You got to give them credit.
Yeah. I mean, they still got Le'Veon Bell, and he's the type of guy that kind of scares you, you know, one man who can do everything, but with the lack of a threat at the quarterback position and a lot of other holes, this should be a business trip at home, if you will. This should be a game that the Eagles should be able to take care of business and then get ready for a pretty big three-game road stretch that will kind of determine what the second half of the season is going to look like.
Very quickly, how about an update on Penn?
Beat Lafayette on Saturday.
Good win.
Yeah, Lafayette is now 0-5, but they've kind of played everybody tough, and they kind of did the same thing against 10. After the final score was 28-24. Lafayette scored a touchdown as time was expiring to make it look a little worse. Penn had the game in hand. They were going in for a touchdown that would have iced it, and they fumbled on the two, and that kind of set Lafayette came down, scored. Penn came down and scored again. Then Lafayette scored as time expired. So the game got wacky at the end to kind of maybe distort the how close things were. But, Penn's still got some early season issues. But you're seeing an offense really develop and a couple of young kids kind of develop into stars in front of your eyes. So they're going to be tough in the Ivy League. And that's when it starts for real Friday night. Dartmouth comes to Franklin Field. We'll get a good feel for where the Quakers are then.
Good. I'm looking forward to seeing that. I think that game's, I think, on TV, I think. So
yeah, no, for all the, it's part of that Ivy League package, right. And for right. Friday night. Now, it should be fun. Dartmouth has given Penn fits under Ray Priori, since Ray Priori's been the head coach. They've been the team that I would say the Quakers have struggled the most with. So we'll wait and see.
Who's on the podcast?
This week, Mike McLaughlin, the head women's coach at the University of Pennsylvania, yep. who one of the great, best that, women's coaches.
That's a great story, by the way.
Yeah, and he, as a player, he played for the Washington Generals. And so you've got a coach who has won 80% of his games as a professional coach or as a collegiate coach, who as a professional player never won a game. So it's an interesting dynamic. It's a great conversation.
In fact, Carl Schrabis, who played here at Penn State, Carl probably played before you were here, Matt.
Okay.
Carl Schrabis had been at Lehigh, transferred in when Brian Hill came here as an assistant coach with Bruce.
Okay.
He ended up with the Generals. He said the guys, at least the Globetrotters were nice guys.
Yeah.
They beat him every
time. Yeah, no, and it's interesting. Cause Mike kind of takes you inside how it all works and how frustrating it was and stuff like that. It's good stuff.
Always a pleasure. I know you got to get back to work.
Sounds good, sir.
Thanks so much, Matt.
Bye-bye.
Matt Leon from Philadelphia. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, welcome. Great to have you with us on the show today. Pennsylvania, New York State, Florida, South Carolina, some of the latest states are considering legislation when it comes to the ability of an athlete to make money off the likeness. The there are a lot of questions that need to be asked, and I think there's time to ask those questions to try and get as many proper answers as possible. To me, there's a 27-month window here. Because the California bill, for example, the only one that has been passed and signed into law, does not go into effect until January 1st, 2023. So let's say 27 months, because then that last 12 months, okay, you better get something done. I think now you can sit down, you can do it in the next 6 to 9 months, null out the pluses, and also null out the consequences. And as many unintended circumstances as possible. How do you do this? Do you allow the student athlete to have an agent? You're allowed to have an agent, for example, when you go to the NBA and you work out, try out, and the NBA helps steer you to the various workouts. Lamar Stevens just went through that process, and he had an agent allowed to do it. If you aren't comfortable with that, is it something then that the university can regulate? Does the football and basketball programs in particular each hire a person that is in charge of taking requests for the student athletes? There's a card show. We'd like you to come in and sign autographs. We're going to give you $150 to do that. There's a car dealership that, for example, wants you to be their spokesperson. We're going to X amount for that. Do you have somebody within the structure of the university or someone in the structure of the program itself be in charge of that? Or do you allow them independently to have agents? There's a lot that goes into this, and it's, there's going to be a lot that's going to be discussed. Some of the stuff is very simple. Hey, we want you to go to a card show. We want you to, or we want to give you an appearance fee, blah, blah, you know, whatever. But then there's going to be more complicated ones that will go to the most high profile of profile student athletes on a university's campus. But something that should not be forgotten is the brand that they carry, not just their individual name. Zion Williamson is a perfect example, and he's a perfect example in all of this to talk about. Say the NBA had already gone back to the rule of going from high school directly into the league, like Kevin Garnett, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James did. Say they reverted back to that rule already. They weren't waiting for 2021 and 22 to do it. Zion Williamson could have gone from high school with that electric game, electric personality, and gone into the NBA. And he probably would have been able to, right out of the gate, secure a shoe deal. So let me ask you this question. How much more was the value of the shoe deal he ended up signing because of the 1 year he spent at Duke? He would have had a shoe deal coming out of high school, but let's face it, who really knows much about him coming out of high school? They'll know some things about him, but something tells me that the shoe deal he got after 1 year at Duke exponentially higher than what he would have been able to get had he come directly out of high school, because he displayed that game on a huge stage with a brand name program and was able to be the first overall pick. I think the shoe deal he got exponentially higher because he played for the brand name Duke to show off his skills. Now, you do have to do something when it comes, for example, let's see, EA Sports, it's in the game. Well, there's an opportunity for everybody on the team to get not much, but some dollars out of it. Jerseys. I'll give you an example. The throwback jerseys this weekend that Penn State will be wearing in the Generations of Greatness. They did this 2 years ago when they played Indiana. Well, they put the jerseys to benefit, I think it was to benefit Uplifting Athletes, up for auction. Well, Saquon Barkley wanted his jersey, but he didn't have the money to get it. And, of course, of all the jerseys, it went to the highest bid. And he didn't have a shot at getting it. There's no way he had that kind of money. So, what do you do with that? Right now they sell ones. Oh, goody, I can buy a one. Yippee, yay. Or I can buy a 19. Yay. That's great. People don't want to just buy ones and 19s. On this particular team, they probably want to buy an 11. They want to buy a 14. Maybe they want to buy an 87. They want to buy, now obviously one is KJ. Right? I mean, maybe they want to buy a 99. So how do you do that? Because you cannot just sit there and say, well, and we'll use, let's use Texas A&M. What did Manziel wear? Number two of Texas A&M, I think. Right? That's Johnny Manziel's jersey. He should get the money. Not necessarily. Johnny Manziel and Texas A&M should both get the money. That's still the Texas A&M brand he is wearing. That's not Johnny Manziel from Texas State. That's not Johnny Manziel from North Texas. That's Johnny Manziel at Texas A&M. Big brand name. Sam Ellinger. That's Sam Ellinger, quarterback at Texas. That increases the value of the jersey because of the brand name behind the jersey to then go in conjunction with the athlete that is enhancing the number. So that would have to be worked out. What would the university's cut be? What would the athlete's cut be? There's a lot that has to be discussed here. And there's also one other element that's very important in this. You will hear repeatedly how these athletic departments are making millions of dollars off the backs of these players. We've heard that repeatedly, right? You know what no one ever talks about? And I never hear anybody talk about this. Nobody ever talks about this. If they were a regular student in high school, what percentage of these players actually would not get into the into college? If they're just average Joe, average Jill, and they just put in an application to the school with their SAT score and their core scores and so forth. Now, for all we know, the percentage could be as low as 5 to 10%. I mean, I don't know what the number is. I mean, because I'm totally, but I think it's a worthy question to ask. When you hear how they're making all this money off their backs, they're exploiting them. Okay. But a fair question is, what percentage of some of the of these student athletes would not have gotten in just on their student application? How many got in because they were great athletes? And again, it could be a tiny percentage, or it could be a little bit larger than we realize, because I don't know the answer at all. It's just one of those, I think it's a fair question to ask when they're talking about exploiting athletes for millions of dollars. Because as pointed out many times, the money doesn't go into the coffers and enrich the athletic department. Right? The money goes to pay for women's volleyball, softball, baseball, men's gymnastics, okay, wrestling, you know, everything. That's where the money goes. I mean, does wrestling, for example, earn money? Yes. There's no question that there is a revenue stream for wrestling, but it's not enough to make up for the expenses. So there's a lot here, and the biggest element in this argument about student-athletes and capitalizing on likeness, how can you figure out to keep the unscrupulous out of the process? That, to me, is the biggest question of all. How can you possibly keep them out?
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.